We're talking today with Ross Wilson, of course, president of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Ross, we're back from Denver, summer cattle industry business meeting. And at the heart of that, for a lot of folks, I think probably for your organization and others, that live cattle marketing committee, very intense, 6 hours. Mr. Colin Woodall said he had never, in his memory, over his 17 years, he'd never seen a meeting that long. Give me kind of a feel, as you've had a chance to be back and reflect on it. Tell me what you're thinking about what was accomplished on Wednesday.
Ron, it's good to be with you, and thanks for the opportunity to visit about a very important topic for all your listeners and obviously for our members. So I think Colin said it well. I think that was an accurate summary of the intensity and the duration of that discussion. I think that's simply a reflection of what producers, feeders, cow-calf and stocker operators are feeling in the country and their concern relative to how we are discovering price today in fed cattle markets, which obviously, as was noted by several of the speakers at the committee meeting, impacts the price for the stocker and the cow-calf producer. So I thought it was a very appropriate discussion. At times it was certainly tense. At times it was a little difficult. It was time-consuming to go through the voting process. But that was grassroots democracy in action.
I know that, you know, as they worked through the process, they of course brought up the proposal of the multitude of states representing primarily cow-calf producers that they wanted to see something with some real teeth, as it was as it was described to me, basically open transactions, price discovery, however you want to call it. You know, as you work through that, it was clear that they didn't quite have quite enough votes to make that stick, and that's where the negotiations really began. I was interested. I think one of your members at the microphone mentioned the fact that we have been doing maybe a little better on price discovery based on those standards put out by the economists from Colorado State.
Yes, that's correct. So just a quick comment about your note about accurate comment about the position of the cow-calf producers from a multitude of states. That's definitely accurate. But there were a multitude of states that were supporting at least a little more time for a voluntary solution. And really, Ron, that's what this boiled down to, was purely a disagreement in timing. Everybody wants to have robust price discovery. There's a group of people, including Texas Cattle Feeders Association, that has been working really hard for the last several months, and in fact, the last 3 months have achieved robust price discovery trade levels, negotiated trade, whether it be cash or a negotiated base price for a grid, that Dr. Steve Kuntz's research indicates we needed to get to, which for the TCFA region is 13,000 head per week. We actually have a 5,000 head a week. And now that's going to be that we need to achieve that consistently over time. So for the last 3 months, we have been at 14,000 to 15,000 head a week. The group that feels like we've given adequate time was simply saying, folks, that's not enough. They basically said, they didn't say it's not enough. They just said, we don't think without some kind of additional pressure on the marketplace, on the packers primarily, not as much the feeder side of the equation, negotiation equation, but on the packers, if there's not some kind of pressure, we won't be able to sustain that. Our group simply said, let's work on this through the end of the year. So we came together in Denver. It was a very timely discussion, obviously, to hammer this out, and we came out with a solution. And as you know from the policy, there'll be a small working group appointed. That group has 60 days to discuss what are the triggers in the marketplace that we're looking for that we achieve or we don't achieve beyond just those hard and fast numbers, because as you know, this marketplace is incredibly complex during normal times. We've had the COVID interruptions and implications and gyrations in the marketplace. So all of that's going to be discussed and considered. And on October 1 or around that time, I'm not sure that anybody's going to lose any sleep if we miss that by a week. But that group needs to sit down very soon, hopefully, should get started within the next couple of weeks, and begin those discussions. And then we'll have a pathway forward. And in the coming months, if we are not achieving those levels of trade as established by research, and it's not just the research of Dr. Kuntz, his is the most notable today, but that doesn't mean there won't be other economists that are involved in that process. And if we're not achieving that consistently with a majority, I would say three packers, some would say all four. I think Dr. Kuntz actually has research that indicates, given the market that you're talking about, the region, cattle feeding region of the nation, it can be three. Whether it's the number of cattle that are being purchased and the number of packers, as you know, mandatory price reporting has confidentiality requirements that also have to be considered and met. So this working group will take all of that into consideration, come up with a recommendation to NCBA leadership. We think that we will be consistently achieving those target goals by voluntary means. If we fail to do that, we being the group collectively, because there were feeders from Kansas and Colorado and other places around the nation, and there were cow-calf states from the California, Montana, South Dakota, Florida, Oklahoma that agreed with the voluntary approach being given more time. So we worked all that out. We established this policy. We will move forward.
In the midst of all that, you've still got a tremendous backlog of cattle that we're trying to slowly but surely work our way out from under. It's not normal times. So, I mean, does that make it harder?
There's two points to that. We've got the backlog to work through, and then we've got the shackle space to what you're getting at. The industry's doing a really nice job of moving the backlog of cattle. Some of our members believe we'll get that done before the end of the year, whereas when we first got into the COVID debacle, we thought it would be the end of the year or into Q1 of next year. So the industry is doing a great job, feeders and packers, of getting those cattle processed. But it still speaks to your issue of leverage, which is a supply and demand situation between the number of fed cattle available and the shackle spaces at the packing plants. The packers have some flexibility in managing that as far as numbers of hours they run per week. You know that very well. Are they going to run 5 days? Are they going to continue to process cattle on Saturdays? How's that all going to play out? We don't know. We had a microcosm of that when the Holcomb plant burned and packers stepped up and killed the same number of cattle with the loss of that, I think it was 6 or 7% of the fed cattle processing capacity in the nation existed at Holcomb, 6,000 head a day, I believe. So it remains to be seen as to what the impact will be and being able to work through this backlog of cattle and continuing to meet these other goals that we now have as far as the voluntary proposal that's on the table.
The other little facet of all of this, out in the country, more price discovery or more cattle being sold on the open market, a lot of people think that equates to the opportunity for higher prices back down the pipeline, back toward the cow-calf guy. That's not necessarily the case, is it?
That's a very good point, Ron. And that was voiced in the meeting, both sides, that some felt that if we move forward with a mandatory solution or achieving robust price discovery consistently across the nation, whether it's voluntary or mandatory, means higher prices. And if we don't achieve that, it's going to be lower prices. As you well know, we're simply talking about supply and demand. That's what's going to dictate the prices. Week to week, as long as we're achieving those robust levels of negotiated trade for price discovery, the price is not going to go up and it's not going to go down. I think most of your listeners understand that, but there's some confusion in the country, and that, you know, played out in some of the questions and the discussion. So we can get there voluntarily, but if we don't, the committee agreed and the board ratified it later that day in the board meeting that NCBA will then go to Congress and pursue some type of legislative solution. It will not, because of the other criteria that have appropriately been put in this policy and is backed up by research, it won't be the Grassley 5014 proposal, but it'll be some hybrid of that.
Yeah, that seemed to be pretty well a consensus in the room. Both factions seemed to be indicating that they were not interested in that particular 5014 proposal.
That's correct. I don't think because it's not granular, it's not specific enough to try to minimize the unintended consequences. And as you're aware, that policy also has language in it that says there will be a 3-year review and or sunset provision on any negotiated trade solutions implemented to allow for a thorough cost-benefit analysis to be conducted. Because, you know, unfortunately, we don't have perfect knowledge. We don't know what this might look like. We don't know what's going to come out of Congress if we fail to achieve the voluntary goals, and we don't know how USDA would implement that through regulations. So it's very appropriate to have that safety valve, for lack of a better term, in the policy.
Ross, for those that might want to ask about what negotiated trade, cash trade might look like, what are the things that are out there that are common right now?
There's a lot of different ways. We at one time had 7 alternatives on the table as our leadership worked through this. Today, the two main ones that are under focus, I guess 3 if there's a hybrid there, certainly just the traditional cash trade. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, the negotiated base price for a grid. And then, as you're well aware, the Fed Cattle Exchange that has been in effect for 2 or 3 years now, there's an opportunity to negotiate a base price and sell cattle through the Fed Cattle Exchange. That exchange is now under new ownership, as you may have seen in the press release that came out this week. So I think it's going to have some additional investment in technology and capabilities to market fed cattle. So I'm hoping that our negotiated trade will increase as well on the Fed Cattle Exchange, and it can be even a larger part of this voluntary solution that we would all like to work before we have to pivot to another approach.
So at this point, the key is through all of those 3 or 4 methods to come up with those numbers in these various regions, right?
That is correct. Yeah, it really doesn't matter as long as it's a negotiated trade that contributes to price discovery. And those definitions are in USDA's, Congress's mandatory price reporting law, and the USDA regulations. So there's several ways to check the box, for lack of a better term, on achieving negotiated trade that contributes to robust price discovery. And part of that equation, as I mentioned a moment ago, is, was it negotiated with just 1 packer, 2 packers, 3 packers, 4 packers? So that is important and makes a difference.
Ross, one last question, kind of getting a little bit away from that, the meeting of Wednesday. Give me kind of a feel of the economic status of your members. In other words, obviously COVID has really thrown the entire industry, the entire economy of our country, a real major punch. You've had some help through the CFAP program, But how are our feedlots doing in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico?
I think struggling is a word that certainly comes to mind, Ron. That's a great question. Our guys are losing $200 or $300 a head right now. Obviously, that depends upon how they got the feeder cattle bought and the performance, although the performance continues to be very good in the yards. So prices have declined quite a bit. We see with the lighter placements that occurred in April, May, you know, we had that the 2 months that placements were really down and that are somewhat offset by this backlog that we talked about a moment ago. It's going to take us a while, but I think I think a lot of people believe that we'll see some higher prices this fall. I won't attempt to predict levels, but people are remarkably optimistic, but they're going through some really painful times right now.
Thank you, Ross. Ross Wilson, the president of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. They're based out of Amarillo, Texas. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.